Let us pray. Dear God, speak to us, Lord. Speak to us what you want us to hear. Help us to understand what it means in our lives. Give us that receptive ear to listen to your voice. Teach us, guide us, and lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 We are still in a Christmas season, aren't we? We're still Christmas season. Has anyone dared enough to take the Christmas decoration at home? No? Have you, some of you done it? No? Oh, good. So we haven't done it either. So it's just good. We are still in a sense of Christmas season, but we are dreading some time just to put those things away, everything else. But in the Christmas season, that is always a system that, you know, the nativity story. And we had a lovely story because I had lots of good feedback when we had this casting call. And I found out some of the gifts in people, how they acted out nicely. So, and I'm really looking forward to give them another job next time. But here we are, and the way they portrayed the gods, those characters, and I just loved it. And I overheard, you know, the children are there to act it out, this Christmas nativity. I overheard, children love dressing up Mary. Yeah, children love dressing up angel. And even Jesus, because he had to be a baby, so they have no option. But, you know, everything else. But the only character not many people willing to dress up is Joseph. And it's just that, why? Why not many people want to do Joseph? It's interesting. I mean, he's not a villain in the family, in the story. He's goodness sake, he's God's father, earthly father. You see, we hear Mary, we hear shepherds, we have wise men. By the way, he didn't even appear after 2 years Jesus' birth. But he's have a prominent role in those things. And even sheep and the donkeys and the turtle doves get mentioned. But Joseph is like a bit of a fifth wheel. You know, it's a spare part kind of things. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't bring gifts like a gold, myrrh, or whatever it is, important things. He don't bring those things. He's not one of those people sing any songs, burst out in songs. Holy is God kind of things. And doesn't make any profound speech. In fact, not even a single word that he speak in the nativity story that has been mentioned. Not even a single word spoken by him mentioned in the story. No wonder the children don't want to dress up, because it's not much character involved. If anybody asks you to, can you be a Joseph? Don't take it as a compliment, because nobody else wants to be. That's what they're asking here. He just stands there with his sandals and his robe and minding his own business. That's what he is, isn't he? That's what the pictures, Joseph. I just thought we should think about him. What his role to fulfill God's purpose? Yeah? He is an unsung hero. He is an unsung hero in the Bible. Why is that? Because God used Joseph to protect and preserve the life of the Savior. Yeah? He is. You see, God gives us responsibility to protect and preserve God's promises in our lives, in other people's lives. He gives us the responsibility. He can use anybody, but he also gives us a responsibility. We play our part to protect God's promises and his purpose in our lives and in other people's lives. Even though there are some of the promises yet to be revealed, yet to be the ministry, yet to be launched, a family member yet to be saved, But yet, it's our responsibility to remember and pray for our children, pray for our family members, pray for these unborn promises, unborn purpose. And that's why Joseph played an important role. You see, enemy will do anything to destroy or stop God's plan and purpose from being accomplished in your life and in the life of our loved ones. He will do anything to destroy or distract you. You see, we need to understand the battle or the enemy's battle against us is not over our past. It's not even over our present, but over your future. That's what the enemy will do, to destroy the future. Of the future of the children, future of the church, future of what it will yet to be. Because he'll distract you. The things that we should be focusing on in a way that God about to reveal is going to be born out. But he'll distract you with everything else. So what we learn from Joseph's life, and what can we learn, and how did he living in God's promises? How did we live with God's promises? Because if you look at this passage, it's very three verses that it changes Joseph's life upside down. In verse 18, it says, Joseph was betrothed to Mary. Verse 18. And then verse 19, he is thinking to divorce her. And then verse 20, she is called his wife. Is this three verses? Change this. First, he betrothed to Mary, and then he's thinking to divorce her. And then the third one, yeah, his wife. So what happened to in between? This made this change in his life. What did he do? Because this is an important bit that we can learn. How can we living with God's promises? It's not easy. It's not easy. But what can we learn from Joseph's life? Because Joseph, first of all, he chose mercy. Isn't he? He chose mercy. Why is that important? Because he had two options. When he heard Mary was pregnant, he could openly rebuke her and shame her, or hand over to the public so that they can stone her to death, which is a reasonable option because that's what the law requires. That's what the Moses' law required. If anybody like that is away from the marriage, she got pregnant, that means she needs to be stoned to death. That's what he needs to do. Instead, he showed mercy. Because the mercy of Joseph preserved the life of Mary and protected the unborn promise, the child Jesus. Do you get it? Yeah? So that he can fulfill his destiny and become our Savior. You see, a forgiving and merciful carpenter helped to raise an understanding, forgiving, merciful son. Can you see? He was. If you're thinking about your children and your partners or whatever things, this is the way. Because that's what they learn from you. When you show mercy, you are raising a child, merciful child. A forgiving child. You see, apparently, researchers saying, only 10% of the people learn through what you teach them. Only 10% they learn what you teach them. But 80 to 90% They learn from what they see in you. What they see in you as a parent, as a partner, as everything. They learn from your action, how you live your life, how you show mercy, how you are forgiving. And is your children, is your friend, is your partners seeing you, your faith, seeing you pray, seeing you saying, I'm struggling, but yet I trust the Lord. Do they see your Christian life at home, or they only see at church or in the pulpit? That's a challenge. Because this carpenter able to raise a child that is a merciful son of God. In the end, one of Jesus's brother, James, apparently that's what, he wrote a book called James in the New Testament. Apparently he was a brother of Jesus. After Jesus born, they had the brother. So he wrote these things about Jesus. He says, he's a witness. He says, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and good deeds. That's a family member testifying about his brother. Okay, he might be converted. He might be learned to experience God's love in there. But this is what he wrote. This is the guy. Yeah, the first they didn't believe in him. First they didn't, they despised him. Why are you doing these things? But once they realized Jesus was able to see these people, and they're able to see in Jesus' life, he's the merciful, full of mercy and good deeds. Can your family member and your children and your parents tell you about that? Yes, he's a forgiving grandfather and grandmother, full of mercy, full of love. Put others first. You see, sometimes I get astonished when I have a conversation, when I do the pastoral visit. Some people, some of the family tells me, and sometimes it breaks my heart, the way that sometimes the legacy they leave behind. And I just thought, wow, can the people live like that? One person, one family told me, ah, he's a joyful person, my dad was. And then they described me as but he's a very selfish man. He doesn't care about children. He cared about himself. And I just thought, what a legacy leave behind. The own children talking about their own father. He lived a full of life apparently, but cared about himself, not others. And that's why Joseph's setting an example. Even though he's an earthly father, he's got his own weakness, I would imagine. Yet, he showed mercy. The second thing that he showed that we can learn from his unspoken, silent action that he showed is that he chose faith. Because in verse 20 says, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. And he told him, take Mary as his wife. You see, we need to exercise our faith in the most difficult set of circumstances. There's no point having a faith when everything's going good. Because everybody can say, I'm a Christian, I love going to church on Sunday, it feels good, and I feel like a good person. But when difficult time comes, when things is not expected, when circumstances changes, that's where your faith started to shine or crumble. To trust God when the situation could not be understood or explained logically. For Joseph, It was a confusing something he can't understand logically. How could this girl who just tells me that I want to get married, saying pregnant, I never went near to her? To make sense out of the situation, that's where the faith comes out. The way God reminded though for Joseph is, yes, he must have had his own doubts, because even though none of his words been recorded, but his thoughts has been recorded. Isn't it? His thoughts was, let me divorce her quietly. Yeah? I can see that. I can understand. But God intervened and said, hey, first of all, remember who you are. That's wonderful. He says, hey, son of David. And that's an interesting aspect of it. Son of David, calling him the root. Who you are in Christ. Later on, somebody else recognized Jesus and said, hey, son of David, have mercy on me. Reminding somebody about their worth. Who you are. No matter what the world calls you, they may call you that you're inadequate, you are not fit in the bracket, you are uneducated, you are not having the right job, or maybe not pretty, not good enough, not rich enough. They may call you anything, but God called Joseph, a son of David. I don't know what his friends would have called him. Gullible, maybe? Believing his wife that is pregnant, and he's just believing that? But God reminded him who really he is. Trust him when everything else doesn't make sense. And he assured him he doesn't have to be afraid. That's what God's word helps us. God's word reassured us. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. I am with you. The reassurance. That's what reading the scripture always helps you. When you feel down, pick up the Bible. Because even though you feel like that's the last thing that you want to do, yet, that is the first thing that can comfort you and help you to get up on your feet. And because then, when you pick up the Bible, read the scripture, the word becomes the light for your path. It shows you what to do next. When you pick up the scripture, that's what it does. Because for Joseph's life, it helped him. His light to his path, his feet, lamp to his feet. Because God said, now, I know you're confused. Just do what I say. Take her as your wife. That's the next step. And he did. Faith is not aspirations. Faith is not aspirations or working hard on it. It's about surrendering to God. Yeah? Because that is the best thing that you can do. Surrendering to God when you feel, I don't know what to do. I don't know. This doesn't make sense. That's where you need to come, kneel on your feet. Kneel before God and saying, yes, Lord, I am clueless. And surrender before God. I just need a drink of water. Somebody said, the two important days, the most important days in your life is this, the day you were born. Yeah? The day you were born, the second is you discovered why you were born. You discover why you were born. The purpose. Joseph's day was brilliant that day. That's the day he discovered that God's purpose in his life. He might have thought, I'm a normal carpenter. I can just do and get on my life and retire. No. But God's purpose is that he to be a father to our Savior. An earthly father. And that's where he discovered. He held on. That's where the faith shines the most difficult times. And the final thing that he chose is the obedience, which is the hardest thing. Obedience. Because the verse 24 says, Joseph did as the Lord commanded him to do. He might not have spoken many words. He was a man of few words. But his silent action revealed he obeyed God faithfully. He took his wife and didn't know her until she gave birth to Jesus. He said, because he loved her, yes, he did love her, but more than that, he trusted God. If you are in the middle of a situation, whether you are doubting whether or not you can make it, or whether or not you can see it through, whether or not you can survive it, take this as an example. Joseph did survive, even though at that time he didn't feel like he will. Joseph obeyed God when, humanly speaking, the circumstances didn't make sense. He obeyed. When his mind was challenged, he obeyed. His mind challenged with doubts and his emotions were all over the place, yet he obeyed God. He also obeyed God later on, even after he gave birth. Even after she gave birth to a son, God said, take your son, Jesus, and Mary, go to Egypt. And still he did it. You see, it's just about things like settling down. Okay, you gave birth now. Now he said, go to Egypt. What on earth would you do? He obeyed God. When it means leaving home to live in Egypt until Herod died. And that I find it very interesting. Why did not God, you know, he did a lot of miracles. Why did not just, he could have made Herod go blind and made Jesus grow in front of him just to show his power? He could have done that. Or he could have used one of his angels who delivered the message to destroy things who are coming against him. Why did he choose to let him run to the foreign land? Who is having the savior of the world, his one son, had to run like a refugee to go to the foreign land. And I just thought, why? Why could not God do miracle? I find it very interesting. Because sometimes God let you go through very unmiraculous way. Not miracle, unmiraculous way. To let you go through and live and go to live in Egypt for a bit. To mold you. To prepare you. Prepare you and also prepare the other place. So that you can inherit the promise. And I find it, this is like a bit of a strategy that Jesus, God uses from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Abraham had to leave his homeland to go to the foreign country, to live there. Yeah, Moses had to go to Egypt. Even Abraham had to go to Egypt. Moses went to Egypt. Why is all this Egypt? And Joseph and Jacob, they all had to go to Egypt to survive. And it's not their own land. I wonder why God had to send. Why not doing their own land? See, it's not about the land. It's not about a particular place. It's about the situation. In an unfamiliar place, God takes you and prepares you and molds you the person that he wants you to be. And while he's doing that, he's also preparing the other place as well. And I know many of you may be thinking, why am I in this place? What am I going through? Why God is not doing the miraculous things that he normally do? But sometimes you need Egypt to prepare you the place. And that's why God allowed Joseph. God's promises protected in the place of obedience. Even though Egypt was a hard place to live in, it was a place of obedience. The question for you, what is your Egypt? If you feel like you are in Egypt, let me assure you, that's the exact place that God wants you to be there now, and He can mold you and prepare you. Because the worst place that you can be is the place of disobedience, the place out of God's will. But Egypt can be a Canaan if you let Him mold you, because He can prepare Canaan somewhere else later on to inherit the promise. I want you to close your eyes, maybe if you are able. Just come before the Lord saying, whatever the situation you are in, maybe you are like living like in Egypt. You feel like, what good is going to come out of this Egypt? What good is going to happen in my life in this place of Egypt? But remember, provision comes in the place of obedience. God reveals His purpose and His will in the place of obedience. God's promises are protected and fulfilled in the place of obedience. So maybe you can say a little prayer. Lord, give me the strength to cope in the place of obedience, to cope in Egypt. Reveal your purpose. Reveal your purpose in our life. Maybe you're just looking for an answer for your prayer. Been praying for so long. God reminding you, like same way Joseph, remember, don't be afraid. I am with you. Sometimes you wonder, how long, Lord, I can stay in Egypt? For Joseph, he didn't give the timing. He only said, until Herod dies. It could have been weeks or months or years. Yet, he chose obedience. Your prayer can be, Lord, help me to be obedient. Whatever you tell me to do, help me to do. Through that, God can preserve and protect His promise and fulfill His promise to you. Because His plans are always good, better than what you yourself planned for. Joseph might have dreamed a plan, but what God showed is better than what Joseph would have dreamed. And he became the father of the earthly Jesus. Lord, help the people who are crying in their hearts. Touch people's lives. Give them the strength to get through this place of Egypt. And more than that, Lord, reveal to them your purpose. Encourage them and guide them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.